Yeah, that sounds more like Patrick. There he goes. He's bouncing off.
Yeah, I'm ready now.
All right, we're back with Patrick Doyle. He has associate Christy with him today, and they're talking about hope.
Pow! Pow! Wham!
Yeah, well, here we are.
It's Batman.
Yeah, here we go. A little Batman music here.
Bill.
I don't know. Steve snuck that in. I don't know who. I had to talk to our program director. That's all right. That kind of gets you going. Back to school, right?
Yeah,
back
right.
At it.
Back to the salt mine.
We're talking to them about hope. They both are in private practice. The number to Patrick is 301-5500. And yours, Chrissy?
659-4436.
Say it again.
659-4436.
Okay. And they do both do counseling. Give them a call. They'll make private appointments and take care of you. You know, you kind of touched on a little bit of a nerve. We could do a talk show all day long. But the point is, haven't we heard enough?
I don't know. It seems like we have. We have more information now than ever.
You know, I'm turning around and doing the very thing that I complain about, and that is I'm bringing Kevin Lehman in, you know, to do another seminar.
Yeah, but he's anointed.
Huh?
Yeah, but he's anointed.
Well, what are you?
I don't
confused.
Know.
Confused. No,
yeah. That's up for you to decide.
No. The point is that, and I realize we need it because there's people in different, you know, levels of their walk and their maturity and all this.
Right.
Stuff. But let's take the average. You know, Joe Christian that goes every Sunday. Haven't we heard enough?
Right.
I mean, when are we going to put it into practice?
Right.
When are we going to live it?
Right. And I think you're right on something. So my pastor, Dale Metter, he just got back from 3 weeks in South Africa, where we are involved with helping a small South African seminary who's training pastors. And the guy who runs the seminary is a guy who's been here before, Charles Mthlongo, and he's a Zulu. From there, Bible trained in Canada. And he has said to me on a couple of occasions, he says, we don't need any more missionaries in Africa. Right. He says, we are one of the most evangelized countries in the world, but has it made a dent in the AIDS problem, which is behavioral? Has it made a dent in the crime, which is behavioral? He says, we don't need any more evangelists. We need disciplers. We need people who are going to help people learn who God is, not just tell us about him.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I sat back in my chair. I thought, oh my God, that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need discipling. We need depth. We don't need any more information, any more 5-step plans, or any of that stuff. What we need is intimacy with the Almighty. That doesn't come from information alone. It comes from the God in me and the God in you having a conversation. You bearing my burdens, me bearing yours, me confessing my sins. It comes from an intimacy of relationship that reveals who God is.
You know, there's a fine line between learning something and being to change, right?
Yeah, right.
And being convicted. To change.
Getting right bounding my wheelhouse again.
And I'm thinking, all right, you know.
It's an inside.
We have a lot of sermons. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against church and stuff.
No.
That's not what I'm saying here.
No.
But, man, we have heard enough. I just
right.
told you during the break, I'm not going to go to any more seminars that tell me how to manage my ministry. Man, I have been to so many of those that I could write the book. You know, yeah. I just, somewhere along the line, I got to do it.
Right.
You know, so, but how long has it been since you sat in church or someplace else or listened to the Dove or and all of a sudden you heard something that just riveted you. It just
right.
convicted you. And
right.
you knew that if you didn't change at that moment, you're
right.
on borrowed time.
That's right.
You know, and
right.
when are we going to get back to that?
And that conviction, like I've said before, conviction is the start or the source of all change. Change does not happen because I get good information. Like I've said before, I have enough information in my mind, I could spend the rest of my life implementing this stuff. But without God's conviction, I will never have the motive required to follow through with the information. So if I have all the information I need and all the supplies I need to build a rocket to the moon, but I have no motivation, there ain't going to be no rocket.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. So what we have is plenty of the information and plenty of the supplies, but we lack motive. And motive, like you said, Perry, is something that comes from God's Spirit. It is His conviction. He said, I'm sending the Spirit for two reasons. One, for the conviction of sin. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, a change in how I live.
But you don't understand.
For comfort.
You don't understand. What I'm going through, nobody's ever gone through this before. And God is hearing this problem for the first time. And so he's decided to be silent because he's actually thinking about what he's going to do because it's kind of caught him off guard.
Yeah, well, you don't know God very well then.
But, you know, come on. That's where people, I mean, people are, they're stuck.
Right.
And they don't know how to get out.
Information does stick in.
That's right.
That is the problem. We can have all the information in the world, all the stuff in the world, but it's not going to move our heart. That's an inside job. And if we're not in fellowship with Him, the rock, the person that is in control of our life, if we allow it.
The source of power.
The source of power, then we're lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's just information.
And that's the bottom line. And I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, similar things, Perry. You know, I don't understand why, you know, fill in the blank. I don't understand why fill in the blank. And I don't either.
I don't either.
And that's the wrong question. The question isn't why. The question is, God, what do you want? How are you going to perfect me in this? How can I love you back? What can I do for you in light of the fact that the weight of glory that you would make me your child? What can I do in response?
Yeah, but we are living in a pill-popping society. I call it the 28-foot syndrome.
Right.
Take a pill, headache goes away. Drive 28 feet, pick up your hamburger.
Right.
That's the mentality that we're
Maybe
they
can
today.
Start passing out pills at those places, too.
They might.
A hamburger and a Xanax.
But guess what? We don't want to read the Bible because it takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Relationships take time. Hello.
Yeah.
So
and we are an instant society, especially Americans.
Right, and this is another one of my encouragements. And people, you know, one of these days it's going to be revealed I'm just a one trick pony. And so again, I've talked about it in the past, the idea that I've mentioned before of going into the bubble. Remember, I had a friend who was a carrier pilot. Had over 2,000 carrier landings.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that on the ship, when the pilots were preparing for their mission, they would go into what they called the bubble, which was for the hour or two before the flight, they were in the bubble. In other words, their only job, and they could not be interrupted, was to focus on the mission. They weren't allowed to be interrupted, asked to do anything. That was their job. And when he said this to me, I was like, oh. That's exactly what we need spiritually. We need to go into the bubble, which is I'm going to move away from the phone. I'm going to go away from the TV. I'm going to get away from my house. I'm going to get to a place where I can't be seen, so I won't be feeling weird if I act funny. I can't be heard, so if I want to yell, scream, sob, no one's going to say anything or no. And I need to go there, and I need to be as honest with God as possible, let it all fly out verbally with my mouth open, using my vocal cords, let it go. And then spend time, most importantly, saying, God, but what do you want? And then have something to write with and write down what you hear. No editing allowed. If he says, blah, blah, bling, bling, spell it phonetically and write it down. It's not about what you're writing down. It's about you learning to hear his voice. Be still and know that I am God.
Matthew 6 says when Jesus, he said, when you pray. So there's an assumption there that you pray. Right?
Help!
So that was an automatic. It's a given that you got some kind of a prayer life going on there. But then he says, shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a new feeling on that one the other day.
Because
I was reading that and I go, shut the door. I figure, you know, go in your bubble.
Right.
That's what I thought. Close the door in my office. Go in there.
Right.
No. Close the door on the cell phone. Close the door on business pressure. Uh-huh. Close the door on relationships.
Everything.
Close the door on kids. Close the door on money problems. Close the door on everything. Close the door.
Look here. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right, Barry. Because what, like I said before, when you see God, you're changed. If I, in the midst of all my turmoil, look at God and he says, Pat, you know that I love you.
No, I don't feel it today, Lord.
Wow. No, but when he says it, it goes right through all that stuff, and you're like, you mean me? Yeah, you.
Yeah.
And he starts etching that on your soul.
Right.
Man, that's hope starts coming because you're like, wow, you've God of the universe? And I think that's the other thing. When you start spending some time reading the Word, looking for him, you start to see things that are like, whoa.
Chrissy, when did you feel hope when there was no hope? I mean, all right, so you disciplined yourself to get in the Word. You disciplined yourself, obviously, to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But the heavens were brass.
The words were long. It was desperation, not discipline.
Okay, so, well, okay, whatever it was, desperation, discipline.
I had walked with the Lord for a long time, and I knew how faithful he was. I've always been able to see his hand in my life. I just maybe at that particular time couldn't, but I knew it was there. Mm-hmm. And so I trusted that which I could not feel or see at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would only be a moment of time, and then I'd get back in fellowship with him, and I, you know, I'd be asking the questions, why? So he'd send me to 1 Peter. He'd send me to different parts that I could really be ministered by, you know, and then James, you know, just
right.
consider it all good, you right. know, all every trial. I'm mm-hmm. thinking, hard to do, God. This one's asking more than I can handle.
You better be involved if that's going to happen.
That's exactly right. But, you know, as you move along that road, you start seeing God's hand in your life, taking
right.
care of you when mm-hmm. you couldn't take care of yourself.
That's right.
And I found that, you know, I had been humbled.
Mm.
I had been broken. My spirit had been completely crushed. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when God really reveals his plan for
mm-hmm.
you. And you say, huh, what do I have to lose? Okay, God, I'm
right.
going with it.
Yeah.
And at other times, you're thinking for yourself. You think you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
when you reach that point of brokenness, then God's in control and you know
brokenness
it.
Being what? That's surrender, right?
It's surrender. It's feeling that outside of God, there is no hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's driving down a road that is so lonely and
mm-hmm.
dark that you can see no light, but you know that there must be because you're still here on
mm-hmm.
earth. You're not with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you trust that,
mm-hmm.
even though there isn't a whole lot else that you feel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You might be totally numb,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying, God, I know I'm in that valley of darkness and that you will bring me through it.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick and Christy, I know you both have experienced this as counselors, that you know instantly a person who's been through the storm versus one who
mm-hmm.
theoretically has been through the storm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the signs of ones who have really paid the price
mm-hmm.
to get where they are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's it's indescribable. I don't know if
right.
I don't know if the right words, but you just know
mm-hmm.
somebody that's been through the storm.
There's a fellowship.
There is a
of suffering.
A bond
mm-hmm.
right away.
That's not something you can fake or
right.
You are fain, you know, when I have fellowship with someone, it's because God, it's like I've said before, it's the God in me. And I don't know a better way to put that, but it's what God has done in me and what God has done in them. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within the two of us having a connection. And that pain gets you into a level of God that you don't get to, I'm telling you. Without desperation, without pain, none of us changes. None of us. And so, you know.
We're not trained by it.
Yeah.
That's what the scripture says. You're trained by it.
That's
exactly.
right.
That's
yeah.
how we encourage one another.
Right. And so it's with that knowing that I know that I know that I know that I know that I've had my heart ripped out of me and I thought that I was going to no way survive. And yet God in his infinite mercy sustained me beyond my ability to believe. And I know that, and when I see that in somebody else, they know that, and there's an instant connection. And I believe that's the fellowship that we really need to be trying to pursue, and that won't happen as long as we're all faking it.
All right, give a starting point to the hopeless today. They're out there, they've hit the wall, they've crashed.
Go to a quiet place, find a bubble, get alone, let it fly with God as honestly as possible, unedited. If there's some words that come out you're not comfortable with, don't worry about it. God already heard you think. God already heard you think it. He knows about it already. Let it fly.
He can handle anger.
He can handle it.
Yes.
He'll redeem it. He'll turn it around. He'll give you what you need. But you must spend time listening. And it's a practice. It's not an intuitive, automatic thing. It takes time to learn, just like it does in a regular relationship. It takes time to learn to communicate. So spend some time alone. Get away and say it out loud. And then whatever God says, if you have a trusted friend, go to them and say, hey, this is what God said to me.
Thank you both.
And get that confirmation.
I think that's incredibly important to verbalize it to somebody else
right.
and get it out.
That's right.
Chrissy, Patrick, thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Enjoy your time off.
I will.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to be sitting on the beach thinking about you.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do your show for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.